And now the very thought of a critical spirit. Yes, I've been critical since, but boy, I snapped too very much more quickly. It took me a long time back then. But a critical spirit is one of the deadliest things in a church fellowship. And we'll go into that this afternoon. Colossians 1:27 is a watering hole that I recommend to you. Colossians 1, it's not, I will go on to verse 27, but the one I really want was verse 11. Colossians 1:11. Again, this is Paul's praying for the believers. He said in 10, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Now get this. "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." And you would think at that point, Paul would talk about all the great things that you could do for God. You know, just sort of take off with wings. And look at it says, "so that you may have great endurance and patience." Do you know that it takes all the strengthening of power according to God's glorious might to keep you patient with joyfulness? Some of us know patience in a limited way. I'll be patient. You done that? And my good husband says, when I tell him I'm being patient, he said, "It's obvious you're not. You're not being patient. If you have to talk about it, you're not being patient." So that's another hole covered up. Patient with joyfulness. Now that takes the almighty power of God, and it's available to you and to me. Now the 27th verse. "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now think of some of the problems, and Lori recommended that book, and I say all power to you girls. I know that weight can be a real problem and be on your shoulders all the time. But I also know this, that all the different practical things you can do are not going to be enough unless you know Christ in you, the hope of glory. You'll want that house of his. If he is in you, you will want to be your best physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, everything for him. A little girl once said, if Jesus is in the house, he's going to be seen looking out the windows. Isn't that true? If somebody's living somewhere, you see them going in and out or looking out. If Christ in us is the hope of glory, now you cannot make that happen. You have to accept that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And it isn't a matter of, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but rather, Lord, this is your body. You bought it at great price. I give it to you today. Will you help me to control this body? And may we have sweet fellowship while you're doing it? Not this, but, oh, Lord, it's so wonderful to have you with me. I know this, I like to throw in a little bit of life between the sexes from time to time. But a few years ago, Walter Trobisch was visiting in Pullman. He wrote those books that are excellent. And I thought, here's a chance for me to talk to an expert. So I said to him, Mr. Trobisch, why is it that even Christian men have such a difficult time being what they should be to their wives? And he was very sober, and he said something I don't think I'll ever forget. And he said that this, there isn't a man on earth that can satisfy the heart of a woman. Would all the married women say amen?
Amen.
Now, you single girls, don't think that all your problems are over when you've got a husband. There isn't a man on earth that can satisfy the heart of a woman. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ has reserved that place for himself. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Anything you get from your husband then is sheer gravy. Just extra. You're grateful for it, but you've learned that Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is what the single life is all about. That's what the married life should be all about. But there's a subtle temptation among Christian women that when they marry, they take their dependence off the Lord and put it on some poor, frail, weak man who can't handle it. He can't handle it. Here he was expecting a helpmeet and he's got a clinging vine. That's not fair. And Jim, poor Jim, said it himself. I heard him say it in a meeting. He said he married this older woman, missionary, godly woman, and he thought, oh boy, it's going to be great having her to help me. And I turned into a clinging vine. And he was in the Navy, and I couldn't cling. There was nothing to cling to. And I had to come back and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this godly husband, but he's away for a year at a time. Mary Lou, you know all about it. Some of you girls that can't be away from your husband one night, what would you do with a month and a half or 6 months or a year? No, but if Jesus Christ is in both parties, your marriage is even stronger when you come together again. But it's wrong of us to put any man in the place where Jesus Christ alone can satisfy. You say, but why does Jesus Christ want to be that? Doesn't he want us to love our husbands? Yes, but the love you will give your husband is not right if you have not obeyed that first commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It frees you to love properly. Now, that's a little sideline, and we have only a couple of minutes left. Where shall I end? Romans 12. Romans 12, 2. It has taken the Apostle Paul 11 chapters to talk about the wonderful riches of God by justifying us by faith, making us right before God, and all the beauties of the 8th chapter. And then he says at the beginning of the 12th, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, all the things he's been talking about, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. No big deal if you give back to something to God that already belongs to him. He bought you with a price, the price of the blood of his son. And then for you to say, well, I guess I will give myself to God. No big deal. You're just restoring stolen property. You give yourself to God because you belong to him. He owns you. But he wants you to recognize that he's there to call the shots. And especially women have that little independent spirit inside them that says, I want to do it myself. I want to prove that I'm somebody. Now, it says you surrender to God, and this way, later it says, this is the way you're able to know God's will. But verse 2 is neglected, and I want to bring it to your attention before I close. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Phillips translates that, don't let the world press you into its mold. And girls who are still in college, you're going to be exposed in classroom to that subtle pressure from humanist teachers who will try to push you into the mold. And some of us respond, even you married ladies, along with me. A recent poll says, and a survey of women says this, we read it and we say, oh, is that what I think? Must be right. All these women think this. Instead of saying, no, I'm going to resist this putting me into any mold. I'm going to be Christ's woman. I'm going to be under his domination. I'm going to experience his grace. You're going to find people are going to come to you and say, what gives? What is different about you? You go through the same trials. You go to the same store that I go to, and I see you running after your kids. What's different? And you have to say, Christ in me. Anything beautiful you see is Jesus Christ in me. the hope of glory. But don't let the world push you and pull you and test your thinking. And you'll be amazed at how subtle it is. You go to the doctor and he thinks you're under pressure, so he says, I think you better see another kind of doctor. And then he tells you you're unique and you have special problems. It's going to be a long time, and you just think, money, money, money. And now it's true there might be some Christian counselors would be of great help, but there are other kind of counselors will counsel you to turn around inside, shift the blame of all your problems on somebody else somewhere, sometime, and hopefully after a long session, you might be a person free. Now, Jesus Christ says, if the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. Now, I'm not downplaying somebody who has a real mental problem, but I'll never forget one lady in Annapolis who'd been through shock treatments. She'd been through everything that you could imagine. She was a leader in the Society of Annapolis, and she saw a Christian die of cancer with joy. And she told me this. She said, Bessie, I went home. I went into my bedroom. She was very methodical. She always told you everything. I shut the door. I sat on the bed, and I said, God, whatever I've had for 40 years isn't enough. Give me what Carrie Phipps has. The Lord met her, saved her. She came to my Bible study, and she said, every Wednesday she'd say on the way out, to think I used to pay for this. She was totaling up. And she continued with her psychiatrist because she wanted to witness to him. And finally the day came when she said, well, I've told him everything, and that's now I can be relieved of him. But what was it? It wasn't my teaching. It was seeing Carrie Phipps dying of cancer, producing a baby at the same time and with joy. That's God's power. That's the grace of God. Shall we pray?